Was there an Adam? Was there an Eve? Or did we evolve from what we conceived? Either way, we got what we needed when the sun shone down on the Garden of Eden.
Hey, everybody, this is Harvey Sluggo Wasserman back for you with another hour at the fabulous Progressive Radio Network and the Solartopia Green Power Wellness Show, engineered by the great Jesse in New York City. And we are in the thick of the most consequential, apocalyptic, devastating, nerve-wracking, absolutely crazed election in American history, no doubt about it, at least since 1860. But at least back then, we had somebody sane running for president. This year, we, at least on the Republican side, we don't. We're joined by two really great, great election protection experts, Steve Rosenfeld in San Francisco and Joel Siegel in Charlotte, North Carolina. Steve, I heard a rumor. I read a rumor that real estate prices in San Francisco are actually dropping. Is that possible?
Well, if you work in election protection, you can't afford anything in San Francisco anyway.
That's right. Well, tell you. I read a great, the Warriors signed a basketball player named Andrew Wiggins, and they're paying him $90 million. And the Chronicle ran a story about how he would just barely be able to afford an apartment in San Francisco on a $90 million annual salary. So good for him. We're also joined by Joel Siegel. So listen, we are just gonna, the great Joel Siegel in North Carolina, who's organizing the state. So we wanna get in and chat about everything that's happening here. I mean, there's been nothing like it. I am told now that the Congress has been beating up on Louis DeJoy, what a name that is, to get him to stop destroying the Postal Service. And he apparently has agreed to stop doing what he was doing, but we all know that that doesn't mean anything in Trump world, and he could continue to do the same kind of catastrophe. I do wanna say that I've been quite astounded, even for Donald Trump, to come out and publicly say that he is destroying the Postal Service to prevent people from voting. You know, I cannot imagine his handlers, starting with Karl Rove and whoever else is handling this guy, that they would want him to say that. It leads me to think that maybe he's covering some other catastrophic stab in the back. And Steve Rosenfeld, what do you think about that?
Well, Trump seems to be a chronic disruptor, and that seems to be his MO. He thrives in the chaos, and whether or not the actual delivery times will be that much impeded or not, he's succeeded in discrediting the post office and planting seeds of distrust in most people's minds. And you know, you have an infinitely more complicated process in many states to vote by mail. You know, so, I mean, so like, for example, Joel, I have a question, you know, for North Carolina about
sure.
this.
Sure.
I'm looking right now at all the different swing state applications to request absentee ballots. And North Carolina's form looks like it's from one of those states that only lets you request one election at a time, right? That's what I'm trying to check with you. So if that's the case, and what I'm finding is that some states have forms where you can check different boxes for every election that year, just the next one. I don't know that many people know what their status is for the fall on this.
Shoot.
Maybe people might be assuming they could are going to get it because it's not in this time.
In here.
So,
okay, we're joined by Bob Petrakis and Mimi Kennedy, so we've got an all-star cast here. Steve, it's a good question. Joel, you got an answer?
Yeah, I mean, Steve, first of all, very good point. So the coalition that we put together, you know, for the Emergency National Grassroots Election Protecting Coalition, now consists of the African American Caucus, which is the largest African American organization that is affiliated with the Democratic Party. The Alliance of Moral Progressives, which is the largest progressive coalition in the city of Charlotte. Then this morning, the North Carolina Postal Workers Union just joined us, that's several thousand workers. The former mayor, Jennifer Roberts. Then there's about 20 to 30 other organizations. We're gonna have a meeting next week, a Zoom meeting, where we will officially begin to coordinate our action campaign of election protection. And the one of the first components that we're gonna do is intensive voter education in terms of how do you get an absentee ballot? Do you walk it in early? Do you mail it? What are the pros and cons of both? Because what I'm seeing is, I would say 99% of the public has no idea about what to do with absentee ballots. 99% of them don't know whether they should mail it or walk it in. Should, you know, they're scared to death to vote, you know, in person. The Democratic Party has not hired enough people who are at the voting centers to actually count the votes, the absentee ballots. So we'll get that New York problem where they're still counting 6-7 weeks after their last election. So things are, and the other problem is what I call fragmentation, where the Democratic Party operatives and the nonprofit operatives are not cross-pollinating. So we're actually, you know, I don't know how we're doing this because there's always problems with the 501c3s working with the Democratic Party. But we're, you know, actually following Harvey Wasserman's, I call it the Wasserman plan. He calls it the trifecta. But Stephen, you're absolutely right about what you're saying is people don't know what in the hell is going on here. And then I'll close by saying, when I met with the president of the Postal Workers Union, they are literally shutting down all overtime. They're taking like the mail sorters, they're physically taking them out of the distribution centers, and people can't get their medicines in our state because Vladimir Putin Trump is, you know, told to joy that you got to stop, you know, basically stop and gut the US Postal Service. So this is a real mess, but the only way, and I'll close, that we're going to meet this challenge is if we have a coordinated campaign to protect the vote in the swing states and every state. I mean, you know, North Carolina is a swing state. If we don't do this, the 50,000 people from the Trump thugs who are going to try to contest the vote, they're going to be right there on election day, intimidating voters, contesting the votes, just like they did in Florida in 2000, led by the one and only Supreme Court Justice Kavanaugh. That is our concern, is the votes, the absentee ballots will get there on time. When they do get to the voting centers, there will be attempts to say they're not valid, and we're not prepared for this.
Mimi Kennedy has joined us, and Bob Fetrakis in Columbus. Mimi's in LA, around the corner from my home. And Mimi, I understand your air conditioning went out. I think ours is working, and we're not there. So if you want to go over and camp out in our house, you're welcome. You can sleep in the pool if you want.
97 degrees in our upstairs bedroom. We camped out in a tiny little building in back where Larry has a studio and air conditioning. 97 degrees, balmy.
Is that the outhouse I used when I was visiting?
It's a little better than that. A little better than that.
The one with the half moon on the anyway. So you have been a post. You have been a poll worker. Now, one of the in doing our organizing work, and I urge everybody who's listening in to come to our Monday Zoom calls at 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Go to our website, grassrootsep.org, grassrootsep.org. And everybody on this call, Steve and Bob and Joel, and you are regulars with this. We were up to 90 people last time. So the question I'm getting is, when we tell people go into your election boards and sign up, they're kind of intimidated.
Yes.
It's like, well, what are you saying? You know, and who do I talk to? And do I have to, you know, put in my false teeth? I mean, what's the deal? So how do we make, and Joel is telling us, you know, that people are confused. They don't know what to do. How do you tell a greenie, in, you know, a person who's never had any political experience in any of this, in a swing state, to go in there cold and talk to somebody? What's the actual on the ground procedure?
I assume election board means the same thing as being a precinct poll worker or poll worker for your county. Okay. Well, for starters, that is public information. So you can start there. And, you know, we did this website, 2020voterscalendar.org, that links you to your county website and tells you what you need to be. In the case of poll working, you mostly need to live in the precinct of the place where you'd work. But what's interesting in LA, you just have to live in the county and they can assign you 2 hours away from your precinct. And now we have early voting, which has a little bit more professional staffers because they have to deal with the technology. You can't just volunteer, but there's still volunteer positions everywhere. And if nothing else, call up if there's a one whatever number for your county elections board or county registrar, whatever they call it in your county, call them up on the phone now when they're not super, super busy and go, I would like to volunteer as a poll worker. What are my options and how do I do this? You know, a lot of this I've learned is you have to make a phone call. And my husband is a kind of person who's sort of phone phobic. A lot of people don't like to just make a cold call and go, I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm reaching out. It's kind of embarrassing, but that's actually one of the most necessary things for an activist to be able to do, is just swallow your pride and make a cold call. And you will generally find, when it comes to election board or poll working, a welcome reception. Oh my God, we need you. Where have you been? There's sometimes outreach, but if you're not part of a community organization, you don't get the outreach, you don't know. So if you get a cold reception, like, what are you thinking? We choose who we want on our election boards. You know what? Then I would join an election protection group and say, my county or my, you know, registrar was a little bit reluctant to have just anybody get into their inner circle. That in itself is informative. But I would start with be a poll worker, which is an article on 2020voterscalendar.org with a bunch of links to your county. There you start there.
So do you have links available for every county? If you know, people are, you know how people are, they get whiny and they want to be handheld and.
Yeah, we do. Steve Rosenfeld can answer this because Steve put the links in there. Every time that he talked about something in these articles, he'd go, you can do that here. Click.
Well, Steve, what about it? You're muted, Steve.
You're muted, Steve. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. There. What we've done is, we put in not just the links to get you to the application form. We've tried to tell people about where you would fall through the cracks. So for example, there's a lot of efforts out there that are funded on this poll worker recruitment thing by lots of corporations. They all want to be progressive and blah, blah, blah. And they're just sending you to the form to fill out, but they're not telling you that unless your voter registration is up to date and you're either living in the county or in some places, the precinct, you're not going to qualify. That really matters for students, especially since they're back, because what we need is a new generation of people on the inside.
Right.
And this is especially true in, you know, in the cities, the, you know, the communities of color. You know, you don't need to have all white polls run in these non-white neighborhoods. But students, if they were automatically registered when they started, like they, you know, because Georgia's a state that automatically registers you when you graduate from high school or you get a driver's license. But all of a sudden you move to Atlanta, but then you come back. So you just got to get it straight first. So that's the kind of stuff we have in there. And actually other groups, like Andrea Miller's, they took that information and they made an app.
Yes.
So, and this stuff is fluid, you know, stuff we put up there gets outdated and it evolves. But basically what we're trying to really do is this year, there are places where people will fall between the cracks because so much is unprecedented. And we're trying to highlight what that stuff is so people don't get lost and give up. And we're trying to be proactive on the front end of this. So why poll workers? Because we have orderly polls, even if Trump's thugs show up, then it balances that out in the press. And, you know, Harvey, the other place where people could try to show up, and I said this before, is personally, I think a lot of the stuff that the Republicans and Trump are putting out are big time bluffs. Now, there will be some violence out there because some lunatics will think of Charlottesville again. But I've covered these True the Vote people in the past. And they've never turned out thousands. They've never done it. But I do think where they will turn out people is if in the 50 counties, in the biggest cities, in the 15 swing or 10 swing states, in the three or four biggest counties in those states, all those ballots will be coming into one central location where people are going to look at the envelopes first, and they're going to try to verify that someone signed their name right or the signature matches. That's where you're going to have loudmouths show up and yell and scream because it's a really easy TV shot. Somebody makes noise. It's good television. Doesn't matter if it's true or it's false. It's just and that's where we need to have our people who, and I don't know that the Biden campaign with all their election protection folks necessarily, the Democrats, I think they're looking at polls. I don't know if they're necessarily looking at these intake places. This is before you even open up the envelopes. You know, this is the equivalent of going into a place in person and checking in with the poll worker at the desk and signing a poll book or something. You've got to have your eligibility verified before you even get the ballot. Well, they got to check the envelope before they open the envelope. And I'm telling you, this is not a place. We're not talking a lot of places and a lot of people. If you think about it, 50 counties, five or six people who are not lawyers or are lawyers, that's 300 people. People who are dress savvy and maybe, you know, former retired, you know, so this is the kind of thing where like we can really be focused. And you know, everything else that Joel was saying is true. There's going to be all of these scenarios for backups because what's happening is the Trump tactic of creating chaos is and the Mitch McConnell tactic of not funding means that the money is not going to be in the pipeline. The resources won't be delivered to be able to handle the volume wherever the volume is channeled. So this is the thing, you know, why this is where, like, you know, time is beginning to run short and that's part of the, you know, create the obstruction suppression plan. But so anyway, yeah, I mean, and you know, Joel is right. The deeper we look at this, the more responsibility falls on voters who are doing something for the first time to get everything right. And that is the challenge.
Well, technically, and Bob Petraeus, you're the attorney here. You and Joel are both attorneys, but I think you're practicing more regularly. What is the situation with people going into the election boards and trying to get a seat at the table where, I mean, we've ascertained with Steve and others that there are two key pressure points here, or choke points. And one of them, the first one, is who is gonna approve the ballots when they come in by mail? And there are gonna be people sitting at a desk. Who are the people who are gonna sit at the desk? And then are they gonna have gun-toting Trump Nazis sitting next to them saying, throw that one out, throw that one out, throw that one out. And if that's the case, can we get our people sitting on the other side? I mean, what is the procedure? What's the procedure there?
$30 million question.
Bob, did you hear anything I said?
Yes, heard it all. Can you hear me?
Yeah, you're good.
Okay.
You're back in your Don Corleone mood. Yeah.
I don't believe in coincidences, Harvey. First of all, in Ohio and many states, each state's different. The boards of election have four people on them, two Dems and two Republicans, the two parties that get the largest amount of votes. Years ago, there used to be independents. So you can't really get on to the Board of Election And the workers at the Board of Election are, for the most part, party regulars, people that have been working for the party for years. So it'll be the full-time employees that will be looking at this. Now, the only opening right now is with poll workers. They want to hire 35 to 45,000 poll workers in Ohio. That's why groups like Poll Workers for Democracy are so important. And I hate to say it, but you know, I used to be a central committee person, or in Chicago, a ward healer. So for 4 years, from 96 to 2000, I was the only white ever elected to an all-black ward. It was given to me as a gift by Bill Moss for my work in the 2004 election. So at my poll, I get a list. And who do I hire? I hire by seniority people that are longtime Democrats. But many of those people in their 70s and 80s aren't going to be working in this election. So there's a huge opportunity, particularly for young people, to move into the polls and become precinct judges or the number two person there. I live in an overwhelmingly Democratic area where they used to have to solicit a Republican from the line, is that the Republican Party wasn't in this area. But in 2004, there were people that showed up, primarily young white preppy males who tried to come in and challenge votes. It proved to be very unsuccessful. And I hate to say it, but many were threatened with violence.
And well, that Brett Kavanaugh guy, he got threatened, I think.
Yeah, and so right now you can't go to your Board of Election and get on that board. That's only four people appointed. Often it's the county chair who appoints himself to the board.
But, you mean the party chair?
Yeah, the chair of the local county party.
So are they actually paying?
It's a paid position.
Are they, yes, are they offering paid?
If you're on the Board of Elections.
But are they?
The poll workers, yes, they're trying to pay people to be poll workers. Often it's 15, 20 bucks an hour. It's usually, you know, 125, 150 bucks, depending on whether you're the judge or not. So they give you a flat rate for showing up at 6 and, you know, leaving at 8 p.m. when the polls close at 7:30.
But what about an early voting? Well, yeah, that's election day. What about early voting?
Early voting is done at the Board of Election. And those are the party regulars that are full-time employees. And usually in every key area, the law requires that there's a Democrat and Republican that agree and are watching over each other.
Well, here's a nightmare scenario. Joel Siegel, maybe you want to deal with this. What happens, we are in the business, all of us doing election protection. We're putting out the word, we want people to go in and be poll workers. And in some cases, like in Hendersonville, North Carolina, I got a report from a friend of mine. She says that the Board of Elections has been sending letters to students offering $15 to $20 an hour to come in.
Same thing now, in Ohio.
Yeah. But that's all election day. Are they bringing people in to work? Are they paying people to work before the election day for early voting?
No.
Yeah, but most of those people have already been hired and they're connected, at least in Ohio, to the two major party apparatus.
So, Joel, you're saying no in North Carolina?
No, there's not. I mean, I just got off the phone with our election protection call with leading election protection organizations. So they do have people who are going to work the polls, but based on my conversation, they weren't really aware of this idea that Greg Palast is promulgating, where those who contest the vote, we're going to have to contest the contesters. That's not part of their consciousness. So what we're doing is we're going to go to our Board of Elections in Mecklenburg County and Wake County and do exactly what my dear friend and colleague Mimi Kennedy said, have the audacity to say, look, this is what we're worried about. I'm worried about the Republicans coming in here and contesting the absentee ballots. We want to, you know, we want to be embedded. And the question that has yet to be answered is, there's different laws that govern the different counties. Is Greg said that right now anybody can, well, Mayor Roberts said you have to be a voter in North Carolina to contest the votes. I don't know if that means you have to have already voted, but there is no organized effort anywhere except here to make sure that we come up with a plan to be embedded in the Board of Elections and, you know, make sure that A, the shenanigans that are, we know they're going to go down. We know they're going to go down. That we do a check and balance on them before, during, and after. It's the trifecta. That's our goal. Yeah. That we have our eyes on yeah. every ballot. Yeah. Go ahead, Rob. Yeah,
each state has its own laws. In Ohio, for example, many people were stirring every candidate for a judgeship in Franklin County can appoint election observers, as can other candidates. So all of these people running at the county and local levels have the right to appoint observers to the actual Board of Election. But you usually need to do that a week to 10 days ahead of time, or at the latest, the Friday before the Tuesday election. And that's historically, and not only that, you can appoint people to the warehouse where the ballots, which we've done in the past, are actually stored. And you can do that through initiative issues as well as candidates.
Mimi?
Wow.
Thank you, Robert.
I'm in the warehouse in my mind now, Bob. That is really interesting. In LA, it takes about 3 weeks to count, always has, all the provisionals and all the late mail. You'd be in the warehouse, or you'd have to be there for 3 weeks. It's a long vacation. But what I wanted to say that I think will be helpful, because I'm confused about what we're talking about and what kind of commitment we're asking a civilian volunteer to make, whether they have to break through a kind of a professionalized ceiling to do what we're asking them to do, or whether they need to step up inside a party and get inside, which it's too late to do because that is always based on seniority, and a newcomer will be, get me coffee. So there's vote casting and vote counting. What a poll worker does, in my experience, is help with the vote casting. In the olden days, which people like Brad Friedman hope to go back to, I don't think we'll see them again, and I don't want to go there for reasons of my own. The poll workers used to take the ballots out of the locked ballot box and count them. Now we count them only to reconcile the number of cast ballots to the number of voters who signed in. That's to know there's no ballot box stuffing. Every little ballot card in the locked box was cast by a voter who signed in. That's called reconciliation. It's counting the ballots, but it's not counting the votes. Votes are counted centrally. So now we go into a different location starting election night, and we're starting to count the votes on the ballots. And that is an observation that people like to do, citizens, and you ask, and you're put behind glass, and you try to watch a tabulator, and you ask who's going in and out. You can't get much, but you can get a bad smell if it's fishy, and you can appreciate if it's good. That goes on for a lot of weeks, because all the envelopes start to be processed, but the election night envelopes, provisionals, late arriving mail, they have to be signature matched and then taken out and then sent through the scanner. There's 3 weeks of work there for a citizen observer. And you generally need to be part of a group. I represent the Democratic Party, the Progressive Democrats of America, scrutineers.org, whatever. You have to sort of apply and break through a slightly professionalized citizen ceiling, but it can be done. Now, a Board of Elections sounds to me, Bob, like people who count votes. They adjudicate stuff. Poll workers don't adjudicate very much at all. They have to follow the book. You either get to vote or you don't get to vote based on your record as I see it where you're signing in. Maybe you're recorded as vote by mail. Uh-oh, got to check. You can't have a regular ballot unless I cancel and know that I can, et cetera. But we don't count votes and we don't adjudicate whether a signature is eligible to have that vote turn anonymous and get counted. So vote casting is something we need help with poll workers, because we can stop voter suppression on that level. Vote counting is something we need help with observation of, unless it's easy in some places to get on these boards of elections, but it does seem to be a political party appointment. And it seems to me you have to kind of be on the inside for a while for them to want to appoint you as the Democrat or the Republican or the Green or the Independent. That's my two cents. Let's divide vote counting and vote casting from what we're asking citizens to step up to do.
But in between is vote
in certain states. Well, in certain states like Ohio, anyone who voted at the polling site, they will in fact run them through the machine now that we have the digital ballot counters, and they will post them at the end of the night. They're actually required to post the only from that site. So in the past, we've gone to key areas and they have to be visible. They'll be taped up against the window and it will tell you how many people voted and what the preliminary count is only from that site.
Wow, good. Yes, I've heard of that. I remember it was once that way in California. Yes.
I got a question.
Joel, you got a finger up? Joe Siegel.
No, I think what Mimi's saying and Robert, they are the experts in terms of election protection. And, the question I would have is, just like in the civil rights movement, they had to train the people who were involved in Freedom Summer. How do you sit at a lunch counter and a white redneck, I'm sorry, I'm from North Carolina, would come and pour ketchup over your head and not fight back. Similarly, we're gonna have to do some intensive Zoom training for people. And I think this is where Mimi comes in and Robert, to actually train us in North Carolina. A, how do we get embedded? That's step one. Number two, once embedded, then how do we make sure we can put our eye on those absentee ballots? That's gonna take training. And that's something that we're gonna have to talk about, because theoretically, that's what we wanna do, but in actual practice, it's gonna take a lot of training. Mimi? What do you think?
Joel, can you help us with that by finding out in North Carolina what the difference is, what poll workers do, their responsibilities, how much time, and when they end, then whose responsibility is it to do the rest of it, and where? What is a board of elections in North Carolina? What is a poll worker? You could help us. There will probably be about six categories.
Sure.
And then we'll know how to not sound stupid when we as activists go in North Carolina and right. ask to help. There's nothing worse than somebody asking to help who doesn't know what they're talking about. You don't have time to teach them. You just go, thank you for offering.
Well, here's a question. I was on your call, Joel. I was listening in to your call earlier. And Jennifer Roberts said that, and the former mayor of Charlotte, that she called an election board in Mecklenburg County, which is the main county in North Carolina, the biggest. And they said that they had plenty of poll workers. Now, the question is, are these the 50,000 thugs that Trump has talked about hiring who've gone in there and taken the poll worker positions?
No.
How do we know who these people are?
Well,
do you know that? Steve knows.
So well, in certain states,
go ahead, Bob.
In Ohio, we've already litigated this. In Ohio, we've already litigated this during the 2004 election. They showed up. They were intimidating people. We went to court. We got an injunction. A federal judge has ruled and it's still precedent that you can only challenge somebody, at least in Ohio, who you know, is that there is a statute that allows you to challenge somebody who you believe is committing voter fraud, but you can't do it. Why they were doing it was to slow down the voter lines to 4 to 7 hours so that people would leave. And we would actually, we timed people leaving. After about 2 hours, about 15 to 35 people simply would have to go home, take care of their kids, cook a meal, go back to work. So
during vote casting, challenging before you cast the vote.
Correct. But the courts have ruled, the federal court in Ohio for the Northern District has ruled that you can't challenge anybody unless you know them personally. Okay. You can no longer do the blanket challenges.
Okay.
But, you know, again, we've got 5 different warehouse centers, including one central location where the tabulation, all of the provisionals, all the ballots not cast have to be brought to the central location by one person from each party. So what we're thinking is that there's points of vulnerability within the system. When the Green Party was on the ballot, I had the right in the state of Ohio, I was their attorney. I was the one person that could go to any board of election, any warehouse, because we had minor party status. We no longer have that. I'm trying to get a obscure independent candidate to grant me that position again. But I don't know if that's gonna happen. But the warehouses, and they know they're gonna have the data. Steve's absolutely right. They've got, you know, this is big data. They're gonna know exactly where the most votes are gonna be cast. They're gonna know where the key areas are. They're gonna know where the highest vote will be for Biden. And those are the places I think they're gonna show up. And they can, under Ohio law, they can open carry within 100 yards of the poll. So if you get, if you've got some key areas and you're openly carrying an AK or an AR-15, that could have a massive intimidating effect. But what we need to do, and this is where you're right, we need to call up the chair of the board and the director and ask them, what do they plan to do if people show up with weapons? You know, is the deputy sheriff, is the sheriff of the county on speed dial, because that's voter intimidation. So you come down to the First Amendment question.
Steve Rosenfeld?
Yeah, so what I would just point out here is let's just break this down into the steps that we're actually talking about, because what's happening here is we've identified a whole bunch of turning points in the process that have different vulnerabilities. So for example, what Bob is just talking about is about people who try to interfere with those voters who are waiting in line. And if they're trying to challenge their credentials upon signing in, there are limitations around that. And yes, it's true. I've heard academics say that when you have lines that take a couple hours, 1 in 6 people leave. That's 60%. So, you know, that's very effective voter suppression. What I was talking about before, about when the actual ballot envelopes themselves are opened, is another place further upstream, if you will, or downstream, however you, wherever you want to start, you know, the process. And what I've learned is that different states and different counties within those states sometimes handle this differently. Quite frankly, the places that have the most uneven and expose themselves to the most Florida-like equal protection challenges are Wisconsin and Michigan, because they have this 19th century map of election jurisdictions, and the little towns don't operate under the same sets of rules as the bigger cities. And the biggest example I can give you with that is in Wisconsin, you're not allowed to turn an absentee ballot in on an election day any county or city that does what they have central count, which means they have a counting center. But you can at a smaller county.
Oh.
And they have 150 jurisdictions total, of which 35 are central count locations, but those 35 are like, you know, Milwaukee.
Steve?
So, yes.
That means at a central count location, you can't drop your mail ballot off at the polling place on election day, but can you drop it off at the central counting location on election day, maybe?
That's what I want you to do. And what's happened is on last Tuesday, some of those locations in Milwaukee were accepting people's ballots and using couriers to send them to the central count location. I mean, this is red for Republican, you know, lawsuits saying unequal treatment. Yeah. But you know, but I want to just sort of say that, you know, we're talking about all these different parts of the process that are vulnerable, and then the question becomes, how do you prioritize what you're focusing on? So I'm thinking right now, because I'm like, my desk is filled with these are all like, I'm looking at absentee ballot applications from all these different swing states. And I'm telling you, I am finding that in a bunch of them, people are going to have applied in the spring, and they're not realizing that they didn't apply for the fall. And I just, and nobody can tell me what those numbers are. I spoke to the guy today who was the top researcher. He's always an expert witness. And he suits, you know, for the Democrats, Michael McDonald, University of Florida. He said there is no research, there is no precedent that you can look to and scale up and get a sense of this. Doesn't exist. But my point is, what do we focus on first? Like, so I'm thinking about, well, we got to get voters enrolled in the system so their votes, because people can fight for counting their votes. But, you know, Joel, what you're talking about with the obstructions, you know, what Greg is talking about, you know, that's all real. I can tell you that, I can tell you what I saw in Florida in November of 2018. You had three simultaneous recounts. You did not, they ran out of time. So what happened, Brakey was there. John Brakey was there, and he took video of this. So the Trumpers, egged on by Rick Scott, the governor, and Trump, they drove all their pickup trucks down to the Broward County election office, and they created a semicircle, and they didn't want to let anybody in.
Wow.
So now this is interesting, Joel, because they were the Board of Elections on the inside. It actually wasn't, I'm not even sure if it was the Board of Elections or it was a canvas board, which is sort of a subset, right, that actually reviews the things that are in dispute. They weren't letting those people who were acting like you know, drunken frat boys and girls too on the inside, but they allowed them to be perfectly located on the outside, where they were yelling and screaming and getting all kinds of wonderful press coverage.
Were they chewing tobacco? Did you see tobacco stains on the floor?
You know, Brakey has the video. I you know what? I was actually, I was in Tallahassee. I wasn't down there. I was going between Tallahassee and Atlanta. That was my little circle route.
I was going to say, the salient question that you've asked is, okay, where do we focus our energy and our time? That was the hour and a half discussion that we had this morning.
Yeah, so okay. What was the answer?
Here's part of the problem. So you've got the confrontations, which you have to worry about. But on the other hand, no one's really focusing on some of the obvious. Who did the ballot configurations? How do you make sure? Who's handling, who's done the coding? Who's done the hardware and software? There's about 26 major questions, at least to get the company or the individual who's programmed the machines, who's configured the ballots so they actually line up correctly. And a lot of that, you know, we're so desperate, and it's essential to get people knowledge on how to get a ballot, how to, you know, apply for it, how to get it there on time. You better drop it off in person. I mean, again, we have the weird ruling where you can only have one box in the county, because it's going to cost too much money to buy a camera to do surveillance, according to the Secretary of State, LaRose. So all of it needs to be done, but particularly we need to go and get information to figure out, you know, what machines are using. I mean, we're using different machines at the same location at the Board of Election. If you want to vote on paper, or you want a ballot marking device.
Bob, just
Mimi, unfortunately, we're down to 3 minutes.
Okay.
It's flown by, so just sock it to us here.
Every time we say drop off ballot, please say don't rely on doing it on election day at the polls.
Yes.
Because it always sounds like an option, and last minute you can choose it. You might lose your vote. Just always, always couple those two things. Maybe not at the polls on election day. That's risky because so many states disallow it.
This is a nightmare. Joel, go ahead. We got 2 minutes.
Yeah, I was going to say, as the nation becomes blacker, browner, and younger, the right-wing voter suppression effort, if you think $20 million is a lot of money, wait till the next 4 years where it's $40 million. I think that the election protection movement will have to be professionalized, funded, staffed, training, just like the civil rights movement, just like the nuclear freeze movement, just like the universal healthcare movement. But we have to pay workers. There's so many people who want to get involved in election protection, but the one consistent thing I'm hearing is, Joel, can we get some money? Because if we get some money, I'll organize South Carolina. I will organize the black
neighborhood. Right, you know,
we'll get there.
Republicans aren't giving any of their $20 million. Well, this has been, you know, we could just sit and do this. The reality is that if you really look at the nitty gritty, if this election is going to be decided in 40 or 50 counties in 6 or 7 states, we're talking about 5 people on the election boards in those key counties. We're talking about less than 500 people who are in control of the entire election here. And, you know, thankfully, in North Carolina, you know, there's 100 counties and you got a Democratic governor, but we've had these right-wing legislatures have ripped the place apart, and it's the nitty-gritty. I mean, it's Steve who pointed out, first of all, that the real choke point is what is the process? Who is gonna decide which one of these absentee or vote by mail ballots is gonna be allowed in? That's the choke point. In the beginning, and then, of course, it's the counting of the ballots. So I don't think this is rocket science. I do think it's understandable. It's translatable to an election protection movement, whether it's paid or unpaid. You know, most of us here are profoundly motivated by the idea that we don't want to wind up in Dachau in December. So there is plenty of motivation out there. But, and it's not that complicated. We know conversations like these are absolutely essential. So I'm gonna put this out, Jesse will put this out on the radio and on YouTube. And we just gotta keep narrowing it in because you're the people who know the best. Steve, did you wanna say something here at the end?
I just was wondering if Joel, if they came up with any priorities on what, you know, like what's the top, you know, set of things to do? Because I'm constantly trying to answer that question myself.
Yeah, that good question. It's going to be 3. Number one, intensive.
So quick, Joel. We're out of time almost.
Intensive voter education so people understand voter suppression and the obstacles. Number two, that we keep our eyes on the early voting centers, that the absentee ballots are actually going to be counted. Then on the day of the election, we want to keep our eyes on the ballots if they're going to be counted. And then the subsequent week or two afterwards, are they going to be counted? So those are the 3 things that we're trying to focus on.
Well, we know without doubt, the one thing we know for certain is that every election that Trump loses in any county or state will be challenged. And that there's no reason to, and every absentee ballot that looks like it was cast by a black person or a young person, those will be challenged too. We know where the choke points are. It's been great to talk with you guys. We'll have to do this again. We only have 70 days to form a huge, well-informed movement that's going to go into every election place, and that's what we got to do. So let's keep at it. Okay, you guys?
Thank you
very much. We'll send you the link.
Thanks.
And we'll see you. Oh, see you Monday, 5 p.m. on the Zoom. Okay. And okay. Go to everybody listening. Go to www.grassrootsep.org and let's get educated. No more stolen elections, everybody. And we'll see you next week at the Solartopia Green Power and Wellness Show. Thank you, PRN.
Well, we bit the apple and the garden was lost. And so we had to work to pay the cost. And so we went digging into the ground and started to burn many things we found.